Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty with Nathan as well. Happy Friday. Happy Red Friday. I'm trying to help many people out as I can. Like I say, try to do nice things for people. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. We've had one texter today, and his response to our show has been, fight him. I don't like Red Friday. You boring.
Yeah, well, thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
I've tried to reach out. I said, you seem miserable today. Is there anything I can do to help you with? And all I got back was, you should make a song.
Okay.
So I don't know how much longer I can help, but I'm trying to make sure people have a good Friday. I'm trying to hope you have a good mindset, a good mental psyche, and let's have a good one together because we care about all of you. 913-586-7965.
Yeah, you can call in, weigh in on the Bengals this weekend if you want to talk trash back to them. I don't know why we need to talk trash, but if you do, the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you today. Also, Mitch Holthus is coming up at about 7:20 this morning, so we'll have the opportunity to talk to the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs as we do every Friday. Looking forward to that, as we always do on a Friday. It's my favorite part of the week is talking to Mitch because, well, Dustin, I mean, this is going to be your second opportunity to have a conversation with Mitch and I. And as Josh knows over the years, sometimes it ends up talking about nothing, and it's very entertaining.
Right.
I've always told Mitch, I said, you and I should just go do like a, remember that show, Whose Line Is It Anyway?
For sure.
Right? Like, I think Mitch and I could just go sit somewhere and have a conversation. Somebody could say, I don't know, trees. And Mitch and I could go for 3 hours talking about trees, because I'm sure Mitch knows every breed of tree that lives in the Kansas area. So he could tell us all about the trees and we'd have a great conversation. That's what I love about Mitch, man. We can talk about anything. He's the best. Coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on 96.5 The Fan. And, you know, this guy who's upset with us and that we're boring, a opportunity for him to go get a new leather chair, 435 northbound right before Front Street. There's a beautiful new leather chair that we were told about on the text line. So if that's going to make your Friday better, go get that chair.
Well, and if you like songs, 96.5 The Fan has you covered. At 10 a.m., Cody and Gold are coming on.
That's right. Well, we can play Brett Veachtown for him.
And you've dabbled as well.
Yeah,
Bob.
I mean, we got Veachtown we could play for this guy if he wants us to make a song, because, I mean, that is an all-time classic for a lot of people. So we can roll that one out if that guy really wants a, you know, a song, right?
Yep, but I want to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs because it's Red Friday. That's what I want to talk about. And they have a big game this week, and it's against Cincinnati, which is probably the last time it's ever a big game. But there's a reason why both these teams are polar opposites of each other. While you have Cincinnati barking up the tree of, second time I've said that today, text line, so go ahead and attack me for that as well. While they're attacking the Chiefs.
Have you ever seen somebody at a tree barking, though?
Oh, yeah.
You have?
Yeah, but
like,
I literally just saw it. I was on my way to Tanner's on 39th and Rainbow, and I walked. The guy was under the influence.
Yeah.
And he literally was barking, literally, at a tree.
No way. Yes. That is fantastic.
And
I saw a guy walking down Warnell yesterday that was like in a different world himself.
He literally was walking. He was walking like he was Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2, the cop, the bad guy, when he gets the liquid nitrogen and he's like barely moving. He was walking like that, barking towards a tree, and then literally put his arm on the tree, unzipped the fly, and just let it fly.
And went, yeah.
I
good
went,
for him.
Okay,
that's
get
a good
to my
day.
Destination.
Yeah. That was a random time, though. I was just saying, not on a Friday or Saturday night, you know? But
Friday,
I know, but it was on a Friday afternoon. It's kind of like, you know.
It was like 4 o'clock in the middle of the day.
You're barking at a tree at Friday at 4. You've had a good Friday.
Like, this guy is barking and hanging brain all at the same time. But the Bengals, they go after the Chiefs. Like, they go attack them. Whereas if you go and if you follow Harold Kuntz on X, he was going through the locker room, and this was what, like, the Chiefs talk about in their locker room.
I said, man, I'm going to let y'all talk to him, but, I mean, he dominates. He's a speed guy. He's going to take the top off every time. He's going to make the play when the ball's in the air. So we got him over there.
And that's Rasheed Rice talking about Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, it's
pumping
crazy.
Pumping up his guy.
Pumping up his own guy, right?
Saying, yeah, he's fast. He can take the top off the defense. That's him. You go talk to him. He knows what he's doing. He's a rookie, and he has 2 touchdowns on his resume, more than Ja'Marr Chase has this year, who's a 4-year vet.
Right.
And yet, there's no one out there being like, yeah, Cincinnati hasn't done anything. We'll just prove it on the field. No, they talk about their own selves. And they talk about who they are as a team and what they do as a team. And yes, we're focused on Cincinnati. We understand the challenge. We're going to, whatever it is, whatever Andy Reid does. But Mahomes and company, and they've done this, at least from what I can tell, their entire time that they've had this reign, this dynasty, they always seem to let their play do the talking in games like this.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
They let the other team out-talk them during the week, and that's good.
And I love it. Yeah. And you look at last year, and there's so many examples of this, and you look at last year's AFC Championship game. Before the game started, you had somebody coming over to the Chiefs sideline, forget who it was, barking, talking, smack-talking, everything they could. Congratulations, you've just given us 10 free tokens. Then you have Justin Tucker and at the goal line doing the same thing, messing with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, who don't really say a word to him. I don't think one word was said. Travis just threw his little holder and then took all his footballs and moved him and said, get the hell out of here. And there's a reason why when you see successful teams like the Chiefs do what they're doing in their dynasty run. They do things differently, almost to a completely different planet than other teams, right? They're a unit. They are tight. They make tough decisions. Even though you might have wanted to keep LeJarius Sneed, you knew what you had to do in order to keep your franchise going, right? Every year they seem to fix it. Every year this team goes to St. Joe. Every year this team gets attacked by other teams. They don't bark back. Every year this locker room is in the same sort of form that it's always been in, and that's why this team continues to win. And when you look at the scoreboard on Sunday and it says 31-10 Kansas City, then you can talk.
Well, let's talk about all these teams that have talked smack on the Chiefs and how it ended up for them, right? You go back to the Oakland Raiders with the logo thing on, what was it, right before Christmas or whatever it was. I think the Chiefs were up 45-0 at halftime of that game, if I'm not mistaken. Something of that nature, right? So the Raiders did that. The Raiders did the bus thing. That didn't go over well for them. When they said Burrowhead, that did not go over well here. The only time the Cincinnati Bengals really didn't talk smack is when they came in here in that first AFC Championship game and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They didn't talk smack during that lead up to the game. They came in here and won. Once they started calling it Burrowhead, they ended up losing. Teams that talk the smack against the Chiefs do not normally come out on top, right? You saw the Miami Dolphins a little smack talk last year. They didn't come out on top. The Ravens had a little smack talk against the Chiefs. They didn't come out on top. That's the beauty of these guys. They bottle all of that up. They save all of that energy. They save all those negative thoughts, that smack talk that went on there, and then they all let it out on a Sunday afternoon, and they go out there and they dominate their opponent. And that's what I love about this team, because it's not about what you do Monday through Friday and what you say to the media. It's like, okay, fine, we'll take a note on this, take a note on this, take a note on that. See you on Sunday, 41-10 Chiefs win the football game. That that's just how it goes. And eventually some of these teams will learn that it's best just to keep your mouth shut. And that's why the line from The Wire, if you come at the king, you best not miss, like, is such a great just line to use for the Kansas City Chiefs and for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. If you come at them, you best not miss. And 99 times out of 10, when you come at the Kansas City Chiefs, you do end up missing, and they take care of business because they are so much better and far more superior than everybody else out there. So run your mouth all week, Cincinnati. Go ahead. Chirp, 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 and we'll see what happens on Sunday, because the more somebody talks, the more that they say, the less confident they are in their abilities. And I think we're seeing a Cincinnati Bengal team right now that is looking in the mirror going, oh my God, our run is just about over, if not already done.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I love it. It's, if you think that works, it clearly doesn't. Like, you would think that, like,
it doesn't work.
Right. You would think that when the Chiefs go play Atlanta next Monday night, that when they go in the Atlanta locker room and they're like, hey, by the way, like, what do you think about Kansas? Oh, they're good. Like, you respect them. They're the best. That's why.
Right.
They're there for a reason. But Cincinnati seems to not get the notion. And I'm sorry to tell you this. When it happens the way that it happens, Cincinnati will now be irrelevant. If the Chiefs win this game against Cincinnati, it's over.
It's over. It's so done.
I'm enjoying this as much as I can. I love hating sports. It makes everything great. It just makes life easier for us in this industry when there's teams or people that do this. But if Cincinnati loses, and they lose in the way that we think they're going to lose, eventually it's over. Yeah. It doesn't matter anymore. You're irrelevant. And we're seeing Baltimore maybe try to slide into that role of being the team that's like, okay, well, we can come after the Chiefs. But you lost the AFC Championship game. You lost this year. Your record against Patrick Mahomes is Lamar Jackson with your quarterback, I believe, is like 1-4, 1-5, 1-4, I think is what it is. I don't know. You can fact check me.
I think they're now, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to guess 1-6 is what Lamar is against against Mahomes. Okay. I think they were 1-5 going into that game. He's the lawyer. He's got a brain. So they were 1-5 and they lost and they're 1-6.
I think it's 1-5 now.
Is it 1-5 now?
Their sixth matchup.
Okay. Yeah, because I know they lost the 4th-and-9 game. They lost the AFC Championship game. They lost this game. They won the game, which was like the season opener.
The COVID type game where it was half a crowd. Yeah, right.
Which is fine. Bring it on.
The Chiefs also beat the Ravens in a COVID game in Baltimore.
Yeah.
In like September. Yeah. Then there was that one here in Kansas City where like they had the gold end zones early in the year.
Yeah, that was the 4th-and-9 game.
No. The 4th-and-9 game was his first season.
Yeah. So didn't they have like an opener against Baltimore?
Something.
I don't remember. But yes, they only have one win. I'm not sure how many losses it is. It's either 1-5 or 1-6, right?
Either way, we get the voice of the Chiefs coming up next. Mitch Holtis joins Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Chiefs Red Friday and Kansas City sports. Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty have you until 10 a.m., and then you get Cody and Gold from 10 to 2. Carrington with another short day because your boys in blue are off in Pittsburgh. That's right. The Royals still play tonight, so you get baseball. By the way,
do they play tonight or like this afternoon, right? Like how early is that game?
5:40. Love it.
Woo.
Yeah,
Vern's, that's an early start.
Vern's pregame show starts at 4:30. Vern's on deck show. Don't forget, there's only a few games left at Kauffman Stadium, so I'm sure if you call into his show and do the pitch clock, you have a chance to win some future tickets.
I like that. Win some prizes,
that's right?
Right.
Yeah, Royals at 5:40, and for those of you that didn't know, Detroit lost yesterday,
yes,
Bob.
They did. I was watching the game yesterday, right. Dusty. That's how sick I am. Ooh, Tigers and Rockies on a Thursday afternoon. Let me put this thing on. Watch the last three innings and saw Colorado get a big win over the Tigers. That's good for us. Our magic number's now down to 11. That means any combination of Royals wins plus Tigers losses that equal 11 give the Royals a spot in the postseason. So if they win today and the Tigers lose, the magic number goes down to 9.
That's math.
Right.
They currently have a 4.5 game lead over Detroit. They have a 5.5 or a 6 game lead over Boston and a 6 game lead over Seattle.
And Boston lost to the Yankees last night. They're all but cooked too, right?
It's looking good for your boys. Yeah, Yankees
really
won 2-1 in the final 10 innings, back-to-back extra inning games for the Yankees.
How many extra innings? Did the Yankees only play one extra inning game with the Royals this series, right? Was it just the one?
Because
they blew them out in the first one. The second one, the Royals blew them out. So, just one. Yeah, I like extra innings in baseball now, man. It's fun.
That's right.
It's a lot of fun, especially when you win.
UNLV and KU play tonight as
huge
well at
game.
6.
Yeah, big
and
one.
Then a big one here at 7, Arizona at Kansas State. Yep. That's number 20 versus number 14. So you got Friday Night Lights, Friday night double lights.
Yeah.
You got
baseball.
The Royals as well. So you got everything to kind of get you to Sunday. Because I can tell you this, after we leave this show every Friday in football season, I'm a wreck. Because all I'm doing is thinking about fantasy, thinking about, you know, the Chiefs game, thinking about NFL Sunday ticket, all that sort of thing when it comes to that. And tonight you get a little big appetizer.
Big appetizer.
You get nachos, wings, and a side of chili from Smokehouse on tonight's game.
No doubt.
Then Saturday you get the college football slate as well.
Is there a good slate this? I know
this
Colorado State. It's kind of a weak weekend, isn't it?
Yeah. This is a very weak Saturday. I mean, there's not a whole. I mean, Boston College, Missouri at 11:45 is a great game.
Yep.
And then you go down a little bit.
Who would have thought Boston College versus Missouri would be a great game? But Boston College is playing out their ass right now. Missouri still hasn't given up a point.
Right. It's number 24 at number 6, Missouri, 11:45. So you get an early start, which we love for anything like that. So you get everything kind of like tuned in before you get to the Sunday game. So, and you also have the KC Current that played tonight.
That's right.
So they go for their championship run, which we played in their own park.
I know. That's cool. We got some tickets to that. Yeah,
oh,
we're
really?
Excited.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, got the season tickets. Sometimes you got to give the people what they want.
We're living here in Brettfeeds town. Without him, Patrick is not around. Out at Arrowhead, they're winning games, throwing touchdowns, holding parades. And Travis is catching the ball, dropping dimes to Tyreek and more. And our sacks are coming from Chris Jones. Ty's making plays. We need more parades. And we're living here in Brettfeeds Town. living here in Redfield's town.
This has got potential, buddy.
He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damian Williams runs to immortality!
Here's Mitch Holthus on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
Now joined by the voice of the Chiefs, it is brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers. Let's go to the man, the myth, the legend himself. Mitch Holthus joins Festo and Dusty. Mitch, happy Red Friday. And gosh, I know you're already there as well. As I try to calm myself down every week, please tell me I don't need to.
Oh, no, man. It's the hair's on fire. Another festive weekend in the Chiefs Kingdom. I love the fact that you played the run to immortality, though, from Super Bowl 54, and here's why. Last night, I was with the Butler Community College Grizzlies in El Dorado, Kansas, six times national champion, and the guy that makes the key block on that play to make it a touchdown, not just a first down, was Byron Pringle. You remember Byron, kind of a old scrappy dog, played at K-State, but he was at Butler Community College before that, and I told their team last night about that block, and it'll be one of the more forgotten plays in Chiefs history, but if you go back and watch the Damian Williams run to immortality, you will see Pringle blow the corner of San Francisco like into the fourth row. It was one of the best downfield blocks by a wide receiver I've ever seen, and so, hey, raising the glass to the Butler Community College Grizzlies and also all of the Jayhawk JUCO teams and all of our good junior college programs in the Chiefs Kingdom. Iowa Central, Iowa Western, Ellsworth, NEO, and Miami, Oklahoma. But it was I'm glad you played that clip. It brought last night back.
You know, you got to put some respect on Coffeyville, Mitch. I don't know why you're not talking about the Coffeyville fighting Coffeyvillians.
God City, Garden City. Who else do you want? The Highland Scotty Dogs.
I mean,
we'll list them all.
The realm of Coffeyville alignment in the NFL is pretty strong. Starting with our own Ryan Lilje, you got Mel Gray that played out there. Leonard Little. I mean, that's a football factory down in Coffeyville.
Well, and you get same at Butler. If you go to Hutch, you'll see the same thing. I bring it up anytime there's a Jayhawk JUCO player in the game that I'm doing, whether it's with the Chiefs or with the opposing team or of the other Kingdom community college football programs. I don't know if people realize that some of the best, you know, MIAA is the SEC, I think, of Division II
football. No doubt.
But you've also got the Jayhawk JUCO and those Iowa JUCOs that are some of the best in the country. The Jayhawk JUCO is arguably the best community college football conference in the nation. And it's right here under our nose.
Yeah, and don't sleep on Nebraska Kearney. My guy Ryan Held up there leading that program back to prominence. He'll be taking over a big program before it's over. So Nebraska Kearney's coming in the MIAA as well. Let's go.
The Lopers.
Yes.
They're the Lopers, man. And, you know, Smith Center, you've been there. We got to get Dusty there to Pooches. Smith Center is equidistant between Fort Hays State and Nebraska Kearney.
Yeah, it's a melting pot.
Right in the middle.
Yep. It's a melting pot, man. Like the rivalry when those two schools play in Smith Center, they divide the town in half. Pooches is split in half between Fort Hays State and Kearney.
Army, Navy of the MIAA and Smith Center when the Lopers play the Tigers of Fort Hays State.
Yeah, let's go. Mitch Holthus with us here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, I love your teases when you text me about what we're going to talk about. You say there are pages full of guys who, and like 85 question marks. What are they full of?
Who flashed in week one of the NFL of their careers and then disappeared. And the reason I say that, it's because of Xavier Worthy's incredible week last week with the three touches and the two touchdowns. I'm going to drive people back to our Defending the Kingdom. I do it every week, primarily every week, almost every week, with Matt McMullen. And we had Xavier with us. And one of the topics of discussion that I've had all week, or with Patrick Mahomes on the Kingdom Show, or with Coach Reed, is the week one to week two challenge. Xavier Worthy, the Chiefs are getting way more from him than the 4.21 40 time at the combine. This dude is tough, instinctive, and what I really love about him, Bob, is he's self-aware of the whole week one, week two thing. There literally are spreadsheets full of dudes who flash for a week in the NFL, even the first week, never to be heard from again. The challenge for Xavier and the other three rookies that play on offense, when you look at Wiley and Steele and Suamaitia in specific, we'll get to him, or Hicks on the defensive side, is you think, okay, I can do this. I have it figured out, only to get hit upside the head in week two. That's one of the bigger challenges the Chiefs face, are the young guys being better this week than they were last week.
Well, I mean, I would think with this organization and the leadership that they have, like, you're not going to see Xavier Worthy, at least it's under my impression anyway, go, I've arrived and here I am. Like, I would imagine he uses that. That was a nice start, and they kind of keep him humble, right?
They do, and he's kind of that way anyway. He reminds me of the 2022 draft class, which I brag about all the time, for being emotionally and mentally mature, not just physically mature. But the fact that Xavier, first of all, he was aware. One of the first conversations I had with him after we drafted him was he brought up DeSean Jackson and Tyreek Hill and Coach Reed, meaning he goes, I know how Coach Reed made those guys' careers. And he goes, and he said it even the other night, he goes, I could see the way Coach wants to use me, get me the ball, or utilize me as a decoy so that I can flourish. And that's rare for a guy of his age. So there's more to him, a Fresno, California toughness and an awareness to Xavier Worthy that gets me as excited as his physical skills.
Mitch, when you look at this game against Cincinnati, I know last week it was Baltimore. We get their division foe this week. What changes from week one to week two with the maybe the way this team rolls against a team like Cincinnati, who's clearly different than what Baltimore has?
Yeah, man, that was a mysterious game against New England. And Dusty, what got me about that game is they took no vertical shots. There was one. They got a DPI on New England. I shouldn't say no. I should say very few. The routes to, I think Chase had six catches, was the fact that it was all underneath. It was pivots and crosses, and I just have the feeling that the Bengals are going to take some vertical shots this week. Then defensively, for them not to command the line of scrimmage. When New England wanted to, basically New England took the air out of the ball at the end of the game and made some key plays. But Hendrickson and Hubbard are animals. Hendrickson's a stud, 17 and a half sacks, only T.J. Watt better last year. But there's just some – they lost some dudes too, Cincinnati, and they've gone through some adjustments. I talk about week one to week two. They're desperate in week two because your nugget of the morning is if they lose this game, and Zach Taylor, who ironically was the quarterback at Butler Community College when they won a national championship before he went to Nebraska – if Zach loses this game, the off-quoted stat is he'll be 1-11 in his first 2 weeks of a season over a six-season span.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, that will be the worst in 55 years in the National Football League.
Holy cow.
So that tells you that it is a desperate Bengal team that will be here Sunday.
Wow. Talking with Mitch Holthus here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, you can catch the Chiefs right here on their new home, 96.5 The Fan. Beginning at yesterday, the pregame shows. Kling and Dannon are talking somewhere about the pregame show. They're already getting started for this one on Sunday. Who are you most excited to see kind of take that next step this week, Mitch?
Well, it's a big challenge for Kingsley Suamaitia, but I'm going to tell you who I'm excited about. And I don't think they get enough attention, and I wish I would have talked about him more after training camp. But on the defensive side, Leo Chenal and Turk Wharton, they had phenomenal training camps. And even Leo was up there before anybody else was up there. He was there with the rookies because he was in the, quote, injured rehab after his injuries in the postseason last year. And Leo got rep after rep after rep, even as the Mike Backer green dot guy. And so it was invaluable for him. But I saw him take the next step and a half forward. And the same with Turk Wharton. And they showed up the other day. I'm excited to see them do it again. And the other one is Felix Anyedike Uzomah.
Mm-hmm.
There was a buzz in the defensive hallway this week about what Felix was able to do on a consistent basis. Spags talked about him being out there on a rocket screen. which the Chiefs right now might be the best team in football on defending those rocket-type sweep or the rocket screen passes. And the fact that Felix's motor and his quickness showed up last week in that game. But you take him, Chenault, and Turk Wharton, and those three guys in specific who are under the radar, I'm most excited about to see if they can back it up this week, as well as the guys like Xavier Worthy.
I think it's a big game for an individual that knows how to show up in big games, and I'm sure you, I don't know if you have it in your back pocket, but I look at this game with Ja'Marr Chase, who is obviously very, he's very talkative, and, you know, so be it. You got to have some hate in sports to continue this love for this game that we watch called football. But I'm really excited to watch and see what Trent McDuffie can continue to do against Ja'Marr Chase. And I know last year in that game on December 31st, when Ja'Marr Chase lined up against Trent McDuffie, he wasn't very successful. Now, there is no Legarius Sneed, but we moved on beyond that. I look at this matchup, Mitch, and I get really excited to watch McDuffie, who's entering his prime in the NFL as one of the top corners in the sport, going up against one of the top receivers in the sport who's doing a lot of talking, but we'll see what the feet and the arms and the legs do against Trent McDuffie this Sunday.
Do you hear Trent McDuffie doing any chatter, any needless chatter?
No, he does it with his gameplay.
No, thank you. And that fourth and two play, guys, you go back and watch that video. That's an exceptional play by him. And right now, I would tell you one of the biggest differences in between the Chiefs and the Bengals, and Dusty, I'm glad you brought this up, because are the corners' ability and willingness to tackle on the perimeter. It was a big reason the Bengals lost last week. And I know Taylor Britt, Nebraska Cornhusker, he also was a little bit yickety-yack this week, too, right?
Yep.
Talking about, was it, he's talking about Worthy, like, I guess he's a fast guy.
Right, yeah, all he has is speed, is what he said, yeah.
And he can run in a straight line.
I don't know what Ramondre Stevenson has of the New England Patriots, but he was running over Taylor Britt, who wasn't really anxious to tackle him.
Right.
Now, Trent McDuffie's not that guy, because we think of corners of coverage, and yes, that's where it starts, and they're the, often I've said, they're the fighter pilots of the NFL, because they're in dogfights one-on-one on the perimeter. But the corners who can tackle and tackle one-on-one, just like McDuffie has done time and again in big circumstances, and that fourth and two stop he had was huge. And so it's not just covering Chase. It's all of the other stuff that McDuffie does to help this team win. And it's no mystery that he's a first-team all-pro corner and that the rest of the league recognizes it.
Well, I'm glad you brought him up, because some of the stuff that I've been hearing kind of behind the scenes about him, like the, you know, it sounds so like elementary, but like the extra study time that this guy is putting in to be the best this year, people are like it's turning heads from what I understand inside that facility of what Trent McDuffie is doing off the field to make sure that he is the best on the field.
Many discussions we have, Bob, about how Patrick will be like-minded with Coach. Right, Coach thinks of something, or Pat thinks of something Coach was going to think of, or vice versa. That's going on defense, too, and a lot of it has to deal with McDuffie. McDuffie's like a corner who's also a defensive coordinator. He is so smart and so tough, along with being skilled, that's what I think separates him. And his toughness and his ability to be, he is the best blitzing defensive back I think I've ever seen. You know, he's on the verge of setting NFL records for corners as a blitzer.
Wow.
He's still waiting for the first interception. He's on that cusp, and he's just in his third year. But he rushes the quarterback in such an intelligent way. He does it like a Von Miller or a Bosa or a Chris Jones. From his target points, his path to the quarterback, his speed to be relentless but not out of control, he rarely misses a tackle or a blitz opportunity. And it's things that we take for granted with Trent McDuffie, because all we want to look at is like, he didn't have an interception yet. Well, he's going to get one, and when he gets one, he's going to get a whole bunch of them. But until that happens, he's going to do a lot of other things that will help the Chiefs win on the defensive side.
Mitch, we do a segment here called In the Script, and I know you don't necessarily have a script for your game, but I can't imagine what it's going to be like when Xavier Worthy takes one over the top on Cameron Britt in this game to put the Chiefs up, I don't know, 34-3 maybe? I don't know, maybe just something that might be coming out of the lovely sounds of your voice when that happens?
If that happens, you're going to have Roman candles going off inside of the Eagleville, Missouri fireworks stand.
I like it.
Eagleville, he goes
coming.
Do you, Mitch,
you talk,
I'm sorry to cut you off.
You guys have all been there.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have all been there. Oh, yeah. That's where I do my Christmas shopping.
That's where we got the
Eagleville.
That's where as a kid we got the good fireworks.
Oh, yeah. That's where they get the real good stuff. I ran a fireworks stand with my daughter at Riverbend. Whew. That's a whole other story sometime. There were dudes coming in there going, I got some real good stuff in my garage. I'm like, dude, I don't want to know about that.
Yeah. Right. I like the dudes who go to the fireworks stand burning a dart, too. Like, you know, this is kind of flammable, sir. You're going to need to put that cigarette out.
Or a welding torch. I'm like, no, nah, dude, you got it. You got to put away the stick. You know, no stogies in here. So, not in the fireworks stand. That's a whole other segment. But going back to Dusty's point, we thought that Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown being vertical would open things up for Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
You know who it's really opened it up for?
Your boy Rashee Rice.
It's Rashee Rice.
Yeah, how fast did he look? My God, his speed went to a new level from year one to year two.
Room to roam. Part of that speed is he's got a chance to have room to explode. He's not, you know, he's not sitting in a broom closet somewhere. He's running around like the Step Brothers scene where they've got the bunk beds and they're jumping around the room. Like, I got room to do some stuff here. I thought it would help Kelce the most. I was wrong. It's helping Rashee Rice the most. I got a feeling he's going to eat and eat big. Not just this week, but he could have an incredible season, sans any suspension or injury, because of what the vertical game is doing to open up that 20 to 22 yards right in the middle of the field where he can eat.
Well, Mitch, you have a great call. I hope it's a successful Sunday again at 325. We'll enjoy listening to you on 96.5 The Fan and everywhere else that we can get your voice. And I hope it's a sweet Sunday and there's a lot of nectar being drank in that end zone in Kansas City.
Yes, take a sip of the nectar during your pregame warm-up. But I will do this. I will raise the glass of nectar to all of the community college football teams in the Chiefs Kingdom and all of the players that they have produced to the NFL and all of the colleges that we know and love around here, because it's really an interesting story that we don't talk about enough. But being with the Butler Community College Grizzlies last night brought all that back. So tip of the cap to all you out there in community college football, coaches, players, administrators.
There you go, Mitch. Talk to you next week, my friend.
See you, boys.
That again was Mitch Holtis, brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein's Eye Center, and also brought to you by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner with the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holtis joining the show there. God, I just love his energy on a Friday.
It's great on a Friday, right? It's just so good to hear from him every single Friday. And, you know, Dr. Silverstein did my eyes as well. I will tell Dr. Silverstein, Karen Van Noy may need you. You ought to call Karen and see if you can help him with his
something
eyes.
Something tells me he's going to find the show here in a few hours.
Yes, sir.
Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. We found out two things last night in the Thursday night football game. One good, one bad, one very bad. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Welcome back to the end of the 7 o'clock hour. We will be flying through this show. You know it. I know it. We all know it because it's a Red Friday here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Nathan, Bob, and Dusty with you. Last night was a dramatic night.
Yeah.
For two different reasons. We'll dive into what was not pleasing to watch, which was the Tua Tagovailoa situation we saw again. Tua was dealt with another concussion. Mm-hmm. It was sad to watch. Immediately my mind says, this has to be it. He's got to be done. This has happened too much. And the three times that we've seen it, it's all been horrific. When he played Buffalo a few seasons ago and he tried to get back up and run forward and he collapsed when he had rigor mortis in the middle of the field.
Was that last year, the rigor mortis in the middle of the field, or was that two years ago?
He was fine.
He was fine all last year.
Nothing happened last year. And then the rigor mortis that happened, I believe, on Cincinnati's field.
Okay.
And then
that's right, it did, because the DeMar Hamlin thing was also happened. Cincinnati.
And then DeMar Hamlin, of all people, is the one who connected with Tua last night,
right,
and Tua did the stiff arm. So the three things I take of this. One, it's got to be over for Tua. I mean, mind, health, safety, it's happened too many times. I've seen it too much. And my second thing is, I don't need to see it again. And I really wish and I hope everything is well for him. He's a grown man. He can make his own decisions. But coming as a outsider's view and my perspective is, I would love him to just take the money and run.
Mm-hmm.
And when you bring it up, like, oh, there's too much money, he can't quit playing. Well, SpotTrac brings this up. While full recovery is the only real focus here, in response to questions regarding Tua Tagovailoa's contract, the deal includes $167 million guaranteed for injury,
right?
$43 million of which has been paid in 2024.
Right, the signing bonus money he's got, and he's right. got, you know, $120 million more guaranteed to him. He can walk away.
If he's medically cleared to return to football but opts to retire, he will forego the remaining $124 million guaranteed, barring a custom settlement,
right.
which means, obviously, Miami would be like, hey, here you go. If you need a reference to that, that's what Washington did with Alex Smith.
And it's also what Indianapolis did in the same situation right. with Andrew Luck. And really, it's going to be up to the Miami Dolphins, because the first thing I'm sure that comes into your mind if you're Tua and you're thinking about retirement is, what about my contract? What about my money? How am I going to make a living? And I understand that. That's human nature. Right. No matter how much money you make, you always think about how much money you make, right? It's just the way life goes. So I'm sure he's thinking about that, knowing that he has basically $120 million still left to him fully guaranteed from this contract. If he walks away, should help him make a more informed decision about what he needs to do. But I just don't think Tua right now needs to make the decision by himself, because I'm sure he's probably thinking, I'm going to go out there and play. This may have to be one where his family comes to him, where his ownership comes to him, where his coach comes to him. And they all sit down and they go, look, dude, you've had three of these that we know of, right? They keep saying known concussions, which tells me there's probably been more, but the three that we know about, because we saw them live on television, are the ones that everybody is discussing today. So there's probably been more to Tua. If I were him and I was giving him advice, I would tell him to walk away. You got $120 million coming to you. I'm sure Miami Dolphins ownership is not happy about that, you know, and they're probably thinking about, oh my God, we got to pay this guy and he's not going to play. We don't want to have to pay this guy if he's not going to play, and they'll probably try to get some sort of injury settlement to him. I wouldn't allow that if I was Tua. They owe you the money. It's pretty clear. So I think the money thing aside, I would tell him to retire. But again, it's not my body. Like, I don't care what Tua decides to do. If he feels that he's capable of going out there and playing, and he goes out there and plays, then that's on him. Like, he's now assuming that risk of going out there and having something drastic happen to him. If the NFL really did, Dusty, care about player safety, they would say to a, you know what? We're not covering you anymore. We're not going to be a league that allows you to go out there and play because of the damage that's already been caused. And quite honestly, we don't want something worse to happen to you where right. it really does hurt the entire National Football League. And that's when the NFL gets involved, when it starts affecting the bottom line or it starts having a negative impact on the league. They don't really care about player safety. They can tell you all they want. They don't. But with this situation, they need to tell Tua, you're no longer welcome at the inn. That's how you get Tua to retire.
And it also says the last part of this little nugget of this SpotTrac thing is, if he's medically forced into retirement, he has a right to collect the $124 million.
That's remaining. Correct. Yeah, guaranteed to injury. Yes, exactly yeah. right. So he's going to get paid. Now, semantics here. Do the doctors clear him? Because, as you know, the doctors work for the team.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a guy that works for a team, are you going to medically not clear a guy and say, nope, he's due $124 million? Are you going to go, well, he's fine to go? It's up to him now whether he wants to make that decision, because Dusty, he may check out medically just fine.
Sure.
That doesn't mean you should still go out there and play. It doesn't mean you should still put your body and your head on the line, because you want to be able to have a life after football.
Correct.
And the three concussions that we've seen with Tua have been very scary. I mean, like, regardless of what team you root for, when you see a guy freeze out there, when you see a guy stumble around and stagger around, that's scary. I've seen enough from Tua to say you should be done. But again, it's not my decision to make. And if he wants to go out there and play, who the hell am I to tell him, though?
I think if you take away the concussion and the topics that we've had now twice, and if you missed it, you can check out the Odyssey app. Go to our actual page, that's Fesco and Dusty, and you can check it out in the beginning and then obviously here. I think the other thing that we got figured out last night is that as of right now, early on in week two,
right.
the AFC is a three-team race.
Who's your third?
Buffalo.
Okay, that's fair.
Buffalo, at least yeah. in these first two games, I know they came from behind against Arizona's first game jitters, whatever it is. You know, you got to get.
They smoked Miami last night.
They did.
And they were smoking them before Tua got hurt, too.
And it was a road Thursday night game.
Yeah.
That's another thing that it picks
that's
out
right.
to me. And now, again, it was an easy victory by different levels, right? The opposing team loses their quarterback early in the third quarter.
But that game was wasn't it 31-10 at that point in time when he went out? I think it was.
I know it was 24-10 at halftime with Buffalo getting the ball back. And they went right down and scored.
So it was 31.
Well, Tua threw the pick six before he got hurt. So it was 31-10.
So it was 31-10. No more points were scored in that game. So you can't say Buffalo won. I'm not saying you, but I'm saying the general public can't say Buffalo won because their quarterback. It was 31-10 when Tua went out. Nobody scored again. Buffalo smoked that ass.
Yeah.
I mean, Buffalo put on a performance last night, Dusty, and I went, damn. Because I picked Miami to win the game, being the home team on a Thursday. That's kind of what you do. They went out there, and they took care of Miami. I don't think Miami's that good, man. No. I think they were a paper champion. They beat bad teams. They barely beat Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And if Etienne doesn't fumble the football, Miami loses that football game. They're looking at 0-2 and having no quarterback, and you can imagine what Tyreek's doing.
Yeah, and you can see that the AFC will slowly kind of show itself throughout the season. I think your South winner is going to be Houston. I think your North winner is going to be Baltimore. I think your East winner is going to be Buffalo, and your West winner will be Kansas City. Those will be your top four seeds, and then the rest can fight for themselves. But that's what I saw last night. Outside of, whatever, what had happened is that, Buffalo was there, and somebody says in the top text, check Josh Allen's line. The Bills are not a threat at all.
Josh Allen didn't need to do anything last night. He handed the ball off, and James Conner had, three touchdowns in that game?
James Conner, yeah. James Cook. At least that's what it says to me, because Josh Allen is still that guy. Whether you want to look at a stat line or not, they still won the game, and they didn't even need Josh Allen. They won the game handily.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That shows you're a good team. Like, if the Chiefs go out there and they win a game like Buffalo did yesterday, 31-10, and P. Ryan has three rushing touchdowns, and Mahomes doesn't have to put it in the air, and they win 31-10 over the Bengals, are you going to come at me with that text that check Mahomes' line, the Chiefs are not a threat, stop it? No, you're going to go, wow. Like, it's like the Royals right now kind of winning without Bobby Witt doing a whole heck of a lot, right? You're winning without your star player producing. That's great. If the Chiefs go out there on Sunday and Patrick Mahomes is 11 for 18 for 137 yards, but P. Ryan has three rushing touchdowns and Xavier Worthy has another, and Mahomes doesn't throw for any touchdowns, are you going to say, well, Mahomes isn't a threat? No, they won in a different way. That is the sign of a good team. Like, maybe I was wrong about Buffalo. Maybe they are going to be better this year with less talent because they're a better team than they were a year ago. And if you can win in multiple different ways, that makes you a scary SOB, man.
Right.
I'm sorry for that texter too.
Yeah.
If Buffalo continues like this, I don't care if they just win 10 or 11 games. If they win their division, I mean, Nate Taylor said it yesterday, Josh Allen's the MVP of this league. I don't care what his line says. After losing Stephon Diggs, he's going to get the treatment Mahomes did 2 years ago after losing Tyreek Hill.
Yep, no doubt about it. Coming up on the other side, Bob gets into the script that you'll want to listen to about this Chiefs and Bengals game, and I'll give my script as well. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.